Begin the current daf, Masechtas Haryos, daf Yud Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf. And that is, we had mentioned, although a Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol, needs to be anointed with the Shem and the Mishcha, but a Melech, Ben Melech, although a king needs to be anointed, but if he's the king, the son of a king, meaning if someone succeeds his father in the monarchy, then he doesn't need to be anointed. However, we had quoted that there were certain situations in history that because it was seeming to be contested who's going to be the next king, then the son in those situations did have a Mashiach. Now, in that halacha, the Gemara asked the following question. Umi have a shemen ha-mishcha? Was the anointing oil in the days of Yehoahaz, where the Bryce had quoted, one of the situations where although he was a melech ben melech, Yehoahaz had to be anointed because of Yehoiakim, who was 2 years older, and therefore there was seemed to have been a contest regarding who's going to be the next king. So then, as we found by Shlomo ben David, since it was being contested by others, they required to have the anointment with the Shem and the Mishcha. Now that is the Gemara. But in the days of Yehoahaz, in the second Beis HaMikdash, was the Shem and the Mishcha still around? But Vatanya learned the Braisa, Mishanignas Aron, from when the Aron, the Ark, was concealed, when it was hidden away, Nignas Shemen HaMishcha, together with that, was hidden away the anointing oil. And together with that was Vitzinsen Saman, there was a certain flask that held the manna from the desert, as a sign to show for future generations that Hashem could support anyone in any situation. Umakli Shal Aron, and regarding the staff of Aron, which had Shkedeu Ufrecheho, had its almonds and had its the flowers that came out of it, with also to show for the future of the Jewish people because of the contesting of Korach regarding the appointment of Aron. Additionally, the Argish Hasholchu Plishtim Derin Lisrael, there was a box that the Philistines had sent a gift to the Jewish people, Shnim, like it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, Veskleha Zavash Ashivaisim Le'oshim, that their priest had told to the Philistines that besides the ark that you're sending back and all the golden vessels that you're returning as a guilt offering to the Jewish people because they had taken the ark in war from the Jewish people. Additionally, to Simu Ba'argiz Mitzid, you should put in the box on the side of the ark, Vishalachta Moisav Alech, you should send it and then it'll go. So for the fact that it says that this box was on the side of the Aron, obviously that means that's where it was generally kept. And therefore, when it was hidden and concealed together, when the Aron was concealed, so too was this box concealed. Now, says the Gemara, Umiganaza, and who concealed all these items? Yeshua Melch Yehuda Ganzai. It was Yeshua, the king of Judea, that he had hid it. Why? Why did he hide all these things? Shirah Shekasa Bater, he saw that it was written in the Torah in Sefer Devarim, Yeilach Hashem Eischa Vesmalkacha Begayim, Hashem is going to take you and your king, etc., and he's going to take you to a foreign nation, to a foreign land, which means to say that the Jewish people are ultimately going to be taken in captivity and all the spoils of war are going to be taken to an enemy. So Tziva Veganzim, so he commanded that these things should be concealed. Shemaka says, a pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis. The Yom of the Levim, that Yeshua said to the Levim, who they are in charge of taking care of the temple in the Beis HaMikdash, HaMevinim L'chol Yisrael, who are the men of understanding of the Jewish of all the Jewish people, HaKadoshim LaHashem, that are the holy ones to Hashem, he told them, Tenues Aron HaKadosh Beveyes Asher Bana Shleima Ben David Melech Yisrael. Put the ark, in the holy ark, in the house which Shleima Melech, the son of David, the king of the Jewish people, had built. Ein Lachem Masav HaKasav, you're not going to have any more carrying it on your shoulders. Now go and serve Hashem your God and his people, the Jewish people. From the fact that Yeshua told them, put the Aron of Hashem in the house, what do we mean put it? That's where it always is, means to hide it and to conceal it over there in the Beis HaMikdash. Which the Gemara says in Masechta Shkalim that he said to them, what does this mean, these words mean? Ein lechem masav hakasav. He said, if you're going to go into exile with the ark, you're not going to come back with it anymore on your shoulders. So therefore he commanded them to conceal it before the Jewish people were taken into exile. Bahamar Balazah says, so how do we know? So we know that the ark they concealed. How do we know all those different items we mentioned were also concealed with the ark? Because Asya Sham Sham, by the Aron it says, V'ne'adati l'cha Sham, and I'm going to speak with you, Malachi Paris, and it says, V'ne'adati Sham l'bnei Yisrael, and there I'm going to make a place of meeting for the Jewish people. Now, so too by the Tzitzenes Haman, by the flask of the Man, it says, V'sen Shama, put it over there, Maloya Amr Man. Just like by the Aron, which says Shama, it was hidden. So to the Tzinsen Zaman was hidden. And Asi Mishmeres Mishmeres. We learned another Gezer Shava of a safeguard by the Tzinsen Zaman, which we just pointed out from the previous Gezer Shava was hidden away, where it says over there, L'mishmeres L'derisechem. And it says by the Makli Shal Aron, by Aaron's staff, L'mishmeres L'ois L'bnei Meri, as a safeguard to show those who rebel against the ones who are appointed by Hashem, just like the Tzitzen Saman was Nignas, so too the Makle Shal Aron was Nignas. And we have another Gezerah Shal Asya Deris Deris, because by the Tzitzen Saman, it says, V'hanach Eisel Afnei Hashem L'mishmes L'deris Eichem, which it says L'dei Reseichem, and it says by the Shemen HaMishcha, Shemen Mishcha's Kodesh Yezeh L'dei Reseichem. So as we said, just like by the Tzaten Zaman was hidden away, so too the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden away. So already in the days of Yeshiyah HaMelech, which was before Yayachim, was already hidden away, which includes the Shemen HaMishcha, so how could they have used the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint Yayachim because of the contestment of Yayachim? So Amar Papa, and as we had mentioned this teaching of Amar Papa on the previous daf, what we're talking over here, what they had anointed Yayachim was not the Shemen HaMishcha. They anointed him with pure balsam. It was used just to illustrate, just like we said by the Melke Yisrael, that when they were anointed, was even though they weren't anointed of a Shemen HaMishcha, and they wouldn't be allowed to because Me'ila, but to just prove a point, they did to anoint with something. Here also, in this situation, of course, it wasn't when the Shemen HaMishcha was already hidden away, but it was with pure balsam. Now, Tanya Bar Lunda writes that elaborates on these halachas. Ketzad Meishcha Nesam Halacham, how did they do this anointing of the kings? Says the Brisa, Kiminezer, like a crown where they would go around like in a circle with his finger who was anointing the king, like a crown around. Vesai Kayanim, Kimin Ki, when they would anoint the Kayanim, they would do it like a key. Says the Gemara, my Kimin Ki, what does it mean like a key? Amar Menashe, by God, the Kimin Kaf Yavan, it means like the Greek Chaf, which is like an endochav, which is that they would start anointing the kohen that's anointing the key, the kohen would put it between his eyelids and it would pull with his finger up over his head and go all the way over the head, all the way to the back, to the neck, which would be like a Greek chav, which either the image is like, as some rashis have, a ches, which is basically mean like a semicircle, or an endochav, which depending on how one would make it, would be the same idea going up, then flat, then back down again to the nape, or like the Rambam actually has it like an X. But that's the Greek chaf that they have, which that's how a kohen would be anointed. Now regarding this halacha, Tanakh Adulun, one brice that says, B'tchila meitzkin shemen al reisha. First, they would pour oil on his head. V'achakach neisen loy shemen bein risa. And then they would put oil between his eyelids. And from there is where they would go ahead and then draw the oil like a chaf yavani, like we explained, going all the way to the back of the neck. Now, but Tanya Chuitlin, another brace that says the opposite. But chila noisin lo shemen ben risa in. At first they would put the oil between his eyelids and then pull it back all the way with the finger over the head to the back of the neck. Va'achkach meitzkin lo shemen risa. And then they would pour oil on his head. Says the Gemara Tanoi, it's a machlikas Tanoi. Ikad ami meshich adifa. Those who say that anointing is primary, and therefore goes first. Those who say that no, that what's primary is the pouring of the oil on his head. So the Gemara explains. What's the reason of the one who says that the pouring of the oil on the head is primary? Like it says in the Pasuk, he poured from the anointing oil on the head of Aaron, and then it says, he anointed him to sanctify him. So you see that first is the pouring of the oil, and then the anointing, which is the using one's finger to draw the oil on the person's head. Now, Oman da'ama Meshicha Difa Maitam. What's the reason of the one who says that the anointing is primary? Because Kesavah Shekeinat Amitza Eitzel Klisharis. Because he says you find the same idea by the service vessels in the Beis Hamikdash, which there actually there was only anointing and not pouring. So therefore, you see that that's definitely primary, and therefore that goes first, and then goes Yitzika. Now that is the Gemara, but V'Ksev Yitzika B'Seif Yimshach. We see like the other Mandom had pointed out. First it says pouring on Aaron's head, and then it says anointing. So how does he say Meshicha first and then Yitzika? Says Gemara Nahachikam, and this is what the Pasuk is saying. Maitam V'Yitzik, what's the reason why he poured it on his head? Meshum D'V'Yimshach, because he had already anointed before him. Now related discussion regarding the anointing of the Kohen Gadol. So turn among the Braisa, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kashemen HaTayv Gaimer, like the good oil which is on the head, Yerid Al HaZakan, it goes down onto the beard, and you pour oil on the head and it drips down to the beard. Zakan HaAaron V'Gaimer, the beard of Aaron, which the Pasuk there continues in Tehillim, Sheyerid Al Pimidaisev, that it drips down, it goes down on his measurements. So the Gemara explains, Kemin Shnei Tipei Margolios HaYitluyis LaAaron B'Zikna. What does it mean that it like goes down onto the beard of Aaron? They were like these two pearl shaped drops that were hanging at the edge, at the tip of Aaron's beard. Now, Amar Papa, he says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kishu Mesaper, when he would be speaking with others, it would go up these droplets and go up into the roots of his beard so that when he's talking, they shouldn't fall down. And it was for these two drops of oil that Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned. Omar, he said, Shema chas v'shalom, maybe God forsake, ma'alti b'shem la'mishcha. I had misappropriated with the anointing oil that maybe I touched it, because it's right there at the tip of his beard, when I was getting him dressed. Because that was Moshe Rabbeinu's job, to get him dressed in the Shavuos Yemei HaMilum. So Yotze Bas Kol V'Amra, and when they inaugurated the Mishkan on the eighth day. So the Bas Kol came out of Amra and said, a heavenly voice came out and said, Keshemen HaTayva Gamer, like the good oil, which the next pasuk says, Ketal Chermon, like the dew of the Chermon, which is a mountainous region in Eretz Yisrael. So what is the pasuk appearing? Ma Tal Chermon in B'meila, just like the dew on Chermon, there's no misappropriation, that's no problem, it's free for everyone. Avshemen HaMishcha Shebes Kanaron in B'meila, so it's referring to the previous pasuk, so too, the anointing oil that's on the beard of Aaron, there was no problem of misappropriation over there. But Vadain Haya Aaron, but still Aaron was concerned, he was worried. Amr said, Shema Moshe Leimel, maybe Moshe did not misappropriate, Avala Nima Alti, maybe I did. Maybe it fell from the oil on me in a place where it's not fit to be anointed, and maybe I misappropriated that way. Yetzah Baskav Amr Leimel, so Heavenly Voice came out and said to him, which it's also there in that same parak and tell him, Hine Matevim Anoim Shebez Achim Gam Yachad. Behold how good and how sweet it is when brothers sit also together, which is teaching Ma Moshe Leimel, just like his brother Moshe did not misappropriate, Af Ata Leimalta, you also did not misappropriate. Now continuing on this idea about the Mashiach of Malachim, Tanur Bar Linah Braisa, Ein Moshechin Es HaMalachim, we did not anoint kings, El Al Ma'ayin. When they anoint him, when they pour the oil on his head, and they draw the oil from his, like a key of Anis, they only do it on by a spring. Why? Kadesh Timshach Machusam, it's an ominous feature where that just like a spring that it constantly streams forth, so to his reign should also keep on flowing. Shneim like it says the pasuk in Melachim Aleph, "Vayem Hamelech Lehem." The king said to them, "Kui Mochem Es Avde Adonechem Agoyim." Go ahead and take with you from the servants of your master. Varata Moisel Gichin, take Shleima, go take him down to the Gichin, which obviously because he wanted that the anointing should be on the spring, which this refers to the Gichin, which was a little spring near Yerushalayim, not the Gichin that came out of Aden, which is not just a small spring. Now, relating to this idea about good omen, and moreover, as we'll see, relating to the idea about the ominous sign of when it is by a spring, so Amr Bami says, Haiman deboi leida imosik shata oloi. Whoever wants to know if he's going to live out the year or not, nitli shroga ba'asari yemi debein reish hashon liyem kippurim. He shall light a candle between the in what's known as the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, the days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, bevesel the leinoshav zik in the house where there's no wind blowing. E mashach nahayre, as we find this idea about Mashiach, if the light draws, which means say it lights as long as there's oil inside of it, and it doesn't go out. So neid the masik shatay, then he'll know that he's going to live through the year. So to amanda bay lemevet beiskev, if someone wants to get involved in a business deal, and he wants to know, is he going to be successful or not? So the rabbi Tarnagoyli should bring up a rooster with that purposeful intention that it should represent that business deal. Ishaman v'shafer, if it gets fatty and it's a very healthy rooster, then matzlach, that's a sign that he'll be successful in that business deal. If someone wants to go out on a journey, and he wants to know if he's going to come back home and make it home safely or not, so he should go into a dark house. If he sees the shadow of a shadow, he should know that he will ultimately end up coming back home. But the Gemara tells us, it's not something appropriate to do, because at times it could be that even though he's not going to see the shadow of a shadow, he still really was destined to come back home. But therefore, that's why he shouldn't do it, because Dilma, maybe that time he's not going to see the shadow of a shadow, although he really would still be coming home, but he's going to have this weakness of consciousness because he's going to think, oh, I don't see the shadow of my shadow. That means that we're not going to make it home. And that itself is what's going to cause his mazel to be weakened, and therefore he's not going to come home. Not because it wasn't destined to be, but because his mazel got weaker, because had he not done this, it would not have caused him to become weak in his consciousness, and then he would have came back home, and therefore it's not an appropriate omen to test for. Abaya says, Hashtu da amit siman milsi. Now that you said that a siman, a sign, an omen, is something significant, so la'ilam yehi ragla mechzi b'reishot, so a person should always be accustomed to see, in the beginning of the year, meaning a Rosh Hashanah, They should have around on the table kara, gourd, verdubia, fenugreek, karti, leek, vasilka, and beets, and vitamia and dates, because these types of vegetation, they grow quickly more than other vegetables, and therefore it's a good sign that things should be working fast for that person. A related discussion, Amalu Rav Meshar Shalabrei, he said, Kibi'isu me'alu migmur kami rabaycha, when you want to go up and learn in front of your teacher, garsu masnit, first, go ahead and learn the text, so that you should be accustomed in your mouth regarding what is being taught, and then you'll know regarding the topic to ask when your teacher starts giving the class, and then va'olu l'kami rabaycha, and then go ahead and sit in front of your teacher. So tevechi yasvisu kame, when you're sitting in front of him, chazlu pume, look at his mouth. That behold, your eyes should see your teacher, meaning it's more beneficial in understanding when you have that visual of seeing the person speaking and you're seeing his lips moving. Moreover, garsisu, and this is the idea that directly relates to the previous Gemara, when you're learning, garsu al nar demayu, you should be learning by a river of water. Just like the water is flowing, so too should be your teachings be flowing, meaning that your mouth should never stop learning the words of Torah like the spring, which is constantly flowing and going. Moreover, you should sit by the garbage dumps of this place, which the people of that town were Talmudic scholars and they were fit to have Talmudic teachings and they had very good manners. But don't sit by the palaces, the mansions of Pumbedisa, which they weren't such upstanding people as that. And therefore he said to him, better sit even in the garbage dumps of Masmachasya than dwelling in the palaces in Pumbedisa. So too he says, Tav galdana sarya. It's better to eat a small fish that's putrefying, that's on its way spoiling, as the Gemara actually says in the first back of Moed Katan, that a fish right before it's spoiling is actually very beneficial. So you should eat these small spoiling fishes, the masa machasi lamechel, to eat from this place, as we said, of masa machasia, which where they were poor, mikutcha, then rather have this strong kutach dip, the drami kipi, which is so strong that it could break rocks when it's poured from it on top. But even so, even though it's such a strong thing, don't eat from it, as the Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, Avim Bezim and Aleph, that there are three things that are said regarding kutach, which are harmful for the person. It stuffs up a person's heart. So therefore, rather eat this spoiling fish rather than the strong food of the wealthy. Or some say, in a different vein, that what I mean to say is better eat these small spoiling fish, which are not so expensive, than kutach, which the wealthy and the nobility eat, which when it says the rami kipi, means because they dwell in rami kipi, meaning they dwell in these towers and high buildings because it's very expensive, rather buy something cheap that could be affordable. Now, continuing on the idea before about the Meshicha, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that Chana said in her prayer, Rama Karni Bashem, that let my horn be elevated in that by Hashem. What does it mean, Rama Karni, that my horn should be elevated? But Balei Rama Pachi doesn't say that my flask should be elevated, which means to say it's talking about anointing that regarding her son Shmuel that will be anointing the kings. Why did she pick the Karen, the horn? So the Gemara tells us that David and Shlomo Mishnim Shechub Karen, David and Shlomo, that were anointed with a horn, which means through the oil was coming through a horn. So Nimshach Machusin, so their kingdom had continuity. Shal v'Yehu Shnimshach B'Pach, they who were anointed with a flask, Nimshach Machusin, their kingdom did not have continuity, and therefore Chana's prayer was Rama Karni Bashem, that the oil that's anointed on the king should be with a Karen and not with a Pach. Now the Gemara continues with the Aloha of our Mishnah on the previous staff that said, HaMeshuach B'Shem HaMeshcha B'Chulu, the one who is anointed with the anointing oil. So who is that? So the Braisa elaborates on the Aloha of our Mishnah, turn about and learn the Braisa. Pasuk says of a Yikra Mashiach, that regarding the Aloha of the Mashiach, the anointed one, regarding the special carbon, as we had mentioned, the Parabal Kol HaMitzvahs. So Yochel Melech says the Braisa, you would think if all it said was Mashiach, the anointed one, it would mean the king, that he should bring the bull, that because he's also anointed, the king gets anointed when he gets appointed. So Tamalim a Kayin, that's what the Pasuk teaches. No, the he has to be a Kayin. So it's not referring to the king. Now, E Kayin, had it only said Kayin, Yochel Merubah Begadim, you would think that, even the Kayin Gadol, who was not anointed, but rather just has the extra vestments, the eight garments, like in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when they didn't have the Shemana Mishka anymore. Tamalim a Mashiach, that's what the Pasuk has to mention, not just Kayin, but also the anointed one. Now, E Mashiach, had it said the Kayin that's anointed, there's a different kind besides the Kohen Gadol that's anointed. He's the anointed one who's in charge of the war. A different kind, not the Kohen Gadol. Tamalim of HaKoyin HaMashiach, therefore it says, the anointed Koyin, She'en HaMashiach Al Gabav, which means to say that there is no other anointed one on top of him, whereas the Mashiach Macham, although he's very high in the ranks of Kohuna, but the Kohen Gadol is on top of him, and therefore it's only referring to the Kohen Gadol, which the Gemara asks, my mashma. Where do we see from HaKoyin HaMashiach, the anointed Kohen, that it refers to the Kohen Gadol, not the Mashiach Machama? Says the Gemara, Kedama Rabba, like Rabba said, there's a pasuk elsewhere that refers to a thigh. It says Hayarech, the thigh. Says Rava, it means Hamiyumenesh Abayarech, the right one, the stronger one of the thighs. So why? Because the hay always refers to the something that's more distinct. Hachanami HaMashiach, here also when it says HaMashiach, the anointed one, means to say not just any anointed Kohen, HaMayumen Shabim Meshuchim, the right one, the stronger one, the more lofty one of the anointed ones, which is the Kohen Gadol, who has no one on top of him, in contrast to the Meshuach HaMulchama. Now, the Gemara explains, Zama Mara, the Tana, the Braisa said Mashiach, the anointed. So Yochel Melech, so we would have thought to say, maybe that refers to the king who is also anointed. And that is the Gemara Melech Parhu Demaisi. How could you entertain that the pasuk that talks about the what we call the carbon hapar of the Mashiach, that refers to the king? He brings a bull, the king, but Sarhu Demaisi. But there's a different pasuk that talks about the Nasi, which we explained it means the king, that he brings a sar, a he goat, and not a bull when he makes an erroneous sin. So the Gemara Itzrach, we would still need to learn that it doesn't mean the king. Why? You would have thought to say that, yeah, when does he bring his special carbon of a sar? That is what, as the halacha is by the king, when he just makes an erroneous action. Nothing to do with a psak halacha, he just made a mistake. But if let's say he made an erroneous psak, erroneous ruling, and then he followed that with an action, that then he would bring the bull of this Mashiach, Kamash Balam, that's what we have to teach it. No, the king only brings a sar and only for a Shagis Maisa. This that it says HaMashiach, it's the Kohen HaMashiach, which refers to the Kohen Gadol and not to the king. The Gemara continues with the halacha of HaMishnah that said, Ein bein Mashiach Meshemen HaMishcha b'chulu. There's no difference between the Kohen Gadol that's anointed with the anointing oil from Moshe Benu and, like in the second Beis HaMikdash, when they didn't have the Shemen HaMishcha and all they had to make the Kohen Gadol distinct was the Merubah B'Kodim, that he had the 8 garments. There's no difference between them except for the Par Kohen HaMashiach regarding the bull that he brings when he has a mistake in his Hayra and the Shigas Maisa. Now the Gemara says, Masnin like Remeir. Our Mishnah is not like Remeir, because the Remeir, if it would be like Remeir, Hatanya would learn the Braisa. He says, Merubah B'Gadol Mevi Par, Baal Kol HaMitzvos De Remeir. He says that actually the Kohen Gadol, no matter, even if he did not have the Shem and the Mishcha, does bring for his Hayroz Maisa and Shigaz Maisa, Hayroz Dava and Shigaz Maisa, that he brings this power of Kohen Mashiach. But V'Lehoid L'Chacham, the Chacham did not agree to him, and therefore obviously our Mishnah is like the Chachamim and not like Remeir. Says the Gemara, my time is Remeir. What's the reason of Remeir? Tatan, like learn the Braisa. Mashiach, the anointed, only El Mashiach b'Shem HaMishcha. So I would only know the one who's anointed with Shem HaMishcha. He's the one that brings the power of the Kohen Mashiach. Merubah B'Gadol Minayin. How do we know that even if he's not anointed, he just is the Kohen Gadol, that he would still have to bring this power? Tamalema HaKohen HaMashiach. Why is that the Kohen? If you're saying Mashiach, we know it's referring to the anointed one, the Kohen Gadol. What does it mean? HaKohen is coming to include any Kohen Gadol, even if he did not have the Shem and the Mishcha, like in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So, ask the Gemara, so B'mayi Kimta. So, who's the Mishnah like? Kerabon, like the Rabbanan, not like Remeir. However, as the Gemara continues to Medbeis, Eim Esefim. Then look at the next halach of the Mishnah. Mishnah continues and says, Ein bein Kohen Mishamish leKohen Sha'aber. There's no difference between the currently serving Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol who is already stepped down, which we call the second Kohen Gadol, which is when one Kohen Gadol has some type of a situation that he cannot be the current Kohen Gadol, he steps down, someone steps in, when then that thing goes away and he could come back, that one that was then stepped down, he's now considered Kohen Sha'avar, because now he can't serve anymore, the first one came back. So it says the Mishnah, there's no difference between these two Kohen Gadols, El Par Yom Kippur Basir Se'efa. The only difference between them is the par, the bull that's brought on Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol and his family, and the 10th of the Eifer that's called the Chavita Kohen Gadol, that's brought every single day, which that's only brought from the first one, meaning the one who's currently serving as the Kohen Gadol. But for everything else, they're both the same, because they both are considered the Kohen Gadols, and they have all those mitzvahs on them. Says the Gemara, Asan Remeir. So although we said that the Reish of a Mishnah is not like Remeir, but this halacha is like Remeir of our Mishnah, the Tanakh learned the Braisa. Iru by Psul B'Kohen Gadol V'Avar, if there was an invalidating factor in the Kohen Gadol, and he had to step down, which as Rashi points out, when this brisa refers to stepping down, avar, it's not the same thing as in our Mishnah, we say kain sha'avar. There it's referring to the one who already stepped down, meaning the second one, who had stepped up in the meantime and then stepped back down, the one that was the substitute. That's the kain gadol sha'avar. Here, when we're saying va'avar, we're referring to the first one who had an invalidating factor, he had to step down. Uminu kain achar tachtav, then in the meantime, they substituted him with a different kain, who was the kain gadol for that time. Says the Braisa, let's say that invalidating factor of the first Kohen Gadol, this goes away. So Harishon Chayz Labadasa, the first one, the original one, he goes back to his post. Vasheni, but the second one, who now can't be the Kohen Gadol, you can only have one at a time, but he was the substitute, now he's not. Now he steps down. The second one, Kol Mitzvos Kuno Olav, he has all the halachas of being the Kohen Gadol on him. That's Dibre Meir. Now Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no. Harishon Chayz Labadasa, the first one goes back to his post, that I agree. But Vesheni, this second one, who had substituted as the Kohen Gadol, ain't a roi loy le Kohen Gadol. He's not fit to be anymore the Kohen Gadol. V'loy le Kohen Hedjet, but neither is he fit to be the Kohen Hedjet. As the Braisa explains, Amar B'Yesi, he says, Maisa B'Yesi ben Elim mitzipari. There was such an incident with Yosef, the son of Elim from Tzipari. She'ir by psul b'Kohen Gadol. That there was something invalidating from him at that time to be the Kohen Gadol, which as the Girsa is, as it's brought on the side in the Gilyan, u'minuhu tachtav, and they appointed someone else in place of him. And then that person had to step down because he then became back the Kohen Gadol. Then this incident came in front of the Chacham, and they said, Rishon Chayz Labadas. So the first one goes back to his post. Sheni, in a row, loy le Kohen Gadol, loy le Kohen Hedjet. The second one's not fit anymore to be the Kohen Gadol, but neither to be just a regular Kohen Hedjet. Why? Explains the Braisa. Kohen Gadol Meshem Eivor. He can't be a Kohen Gadol because that would cause enmity between the first Kohen Gadol. When you're also Kohen Gadol, I'm the Kohen Gadol. It would cause hatred. Kohen Hedjet Meshem Ma'al Mekodesh Vemirid. Neither could he go back now to being a regular Kohen because there's a Talmudic dictum of that we only elevate in regards to sanctity, but we don't take down. And once he became a Kohen Gadol, he can't go back to Kohen Hedjet. So therefore, he is neither one. In contrast, Remeir says, no, he has the status as a Kohen Gadol, as we said, besides for those two things. So it comes out, as the Gemara, Reish Rabbanon, the Sefer Meir. That comes out that the Reish of our Mishnah, as we pointed out in Oman Aleph, is the Rabbanon. The Sefer regarding the Kohen Meshamesh, the Kohen Sha'avar, is like Remeir. How's that possible? Amrav Chizli says, yes, Reish Rabbanon, the Sefer Meir. Our Mishnah is according to the opinion of two different Tanoim. Another approach, Rabbi Yisiv Amar, that's not as difficult, he says, Rebihi. Actually, the Tanoim of our Mishnah is Rebbi. The Nosav La'alibi the Tanoim, and however, he carries it according to different Tanoim. Meaning, in one point, he held like Remeir, and therefore he made it anonymous like Remeir's opinion. In the Reisha, he held like the Rabbanon, and therefore he made it anonymous like the Rabbanon. Rava, my third approach, Rava says, Reb Shimon, the Tanoim of Mishnah is Reb Shimon. B'sav la k'remeir b'chad, in regarding to one area, he holds a Remeir regarding the Kohen Sha'avar that we just mentioned before, that was the second one. He retains all the mitzvahs of Kohen Gadol on him except for the Par Yom Kippur Maaser Se'efa. But regarding the Reisha of Mishnah, there he disagrees with Remeir, because in contrast, Remeir, who as we pointed out, holds by the Meruba Begadim, even if he did not have the Shem and the Mishcha, he does bring the Par Baal, called mitzvahs, which is this like the Par Helm Davishal Tzibur. Whereas Reb Shimon holds that, no, actually, he doesn't bring the Par Baal, called mitzvahs, as we look in our Mishnah. Regarding that, he disagrees with Remeir. So it's like in the Braisa, that there's actually a Braisa that says, just like our Mishnah, which the Gemara is going to prove, is Reb Shimon. What do we find? The Tanya, the Braisa says, Devarim Shebein Kohen Gadol Kohen Hedjet Elohim. First it says, what's the difference between the high priest and the regular priest, the regular Kohen? So it's parabol kol mitzvahs, as we said, that if he makes hayraz davar v'shagias maisa, he doesn't just bring a regular karmachatas of kispa se'ir, he brings a bull. Upari Mekipur, Manyam Kippur, he doesn't get the kapar with all the regular Jewish people with the Sar Lashem and Sar Lazazel. Rather, he brings his own bull. Nasir Se'efa, he has the tenth of the Efa of the Mincha offering that he brings every single day. V'lei par, neither does he let his hair grow long or cut his garments as a sign of mourning. Aval, but the Braisa says, however, who parim l'milmat, he does cut his garments on the bottom, as we'll see actually in the next Mishnah. But our commoner does his tearing for a relative that passed away on the top. Continues the braisa ve'ein metama lekraven. He does not make himself impure for a relative who passed away. In contrast to a regular kohen hedjet, although kohen is not become tummy, but for one of his seven close relatives he does. Umuzal basula. Moreover, the kohen gadol is not allowed. Is warned that he has to only marry a basula virgin. Vasa ba'aman, and he's also forbidden to marry a widow in the leis asay. Umar says, Ritzech, if he passes away, then those who killed by mistake get to leave the city of refuge. Umar Kervainen, in contrast to regular Kain, he brings karbanis even when his relative died that day, but he doesn't eat from the karban, and Va'ina Chelik, he doesn't get a portion in it. Also, in general, Makrav Chelik Bereish, he gets to serve and sacrifice regarding a karban, the first one. And Manutil Chelik Bereish, even when he doesn't sacrifice, he still gets to take the first portion from the karbanas. Umeshamesh Bishmai Nikalim, he also goes and he serves with 8 garments, in contrast to Kohen Hedjud only has 4 garments. And B'chol Avodis Yom Kippurim Eina Kasheira Elabai, the whole service of Yom Kippurim is only valid with the Kohen Gadol himself. Uputa Upatar Al Tumas Mikdash Kedasha, he's exempt, although generally there's a violation of coming into the base of Mikdash or coming in touch with Kachim when in a state of impurity, the Kohen Gadol is exempt in those halachas. Continues the Braisa, V'kula Noigin B'merumim B'gadim, all these halachas of the Kohen Gadol apply to the Kohen Gadol that has the extra garments, the 8 garments of the Kohen Gadol, even though he wasn't anointed with the Shemana Mishcha. Chutz mipar ha-mevi al-kol ha-mitzvah, except for the bowl which is brought for all the mitzvahs, like our Mishnah said, that's the difference. So that's one halacha of our Mishnah. Continues the Braisa, which is the next halacha, V'kula Noigin B'mashiach Sha'aver, and all these halachas apply to the Kohen that had to step down, who was the substitute, who we called the second one. He also has all these same halachas of the Kohen Gadol. Chutz mipar Yom Kippur, except for these two things, the bull of Yom Kippur and the tenth of the Eifa, which that's the only difference between the two of them, are these two items, which is the second halacha of our Mishnah, which we said that these two are, one is not like Rimei, one is not like Rabban, but here we have a Tana who's saying both the halachas of our Mishnah. Continues the Braisa, another halacha, b'kulan ein noigin b'mashiach melchama. However, all these unique halachas for the Kohen Gadol do not apply to the Kohen who's also one of the high type priests who's anointed for the warfare. He's in charge, he's like the head kain in the war. He doesn't have all these halachas. Chutz mehei dvar ma'amur b'parsha, except for 5 halachas that are said in the parsha where the kain mashuch is alluded to, which is loy pireya, he's not let his hair grow long, v'loy pirim, and not to rend his garments. Vein mitam lekravim, he does not make himself impure to relatives who passed away. Umuza al Basula, he's forewarned, he has to marry a Basula. Vasabamana, he's forbidden in a widow. Umach says Ritzech, and if he dies, the one who killed by mistake gets to leave the Ir Miklat. That's the Rabbi Huda. The sages say, no, Eina Machzer, that they disagree regarding that last point, that if he passed away, that doesn't let the Ritzech go free. So that's the Braisa. So ask the Gemara, Vahai Mimai Rabbi Shimon. Yes, you have a Braisa that says just like our Mishnah, but how do we know that that's referring to Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi said, oh, Rabbi Shimon, as he's bringing this Braisa? So my papa, he says, because Man Shamatle, who's the one that tells us the last halacha that was said regarding the uniqueness of the Kohen Gadol, that said, the Amar Patra al Tumas Mikdash Kedashim, that says that he's exempt if he's Tamei and he comes into the base of Mikdash or touches Kachim. That is Rabbi Shimon, as we learned in the Mishnah in Parakai Rikai Mashiach, that regarding the Kohen Gadol, he's not liable for Tumas Mikdash Kedashim. That's when it says over there, that's like Rib Shimon, and therefore we see that this price is Rib Shimon, and therefore we have the other 2 halachas, which are in our Mishnah, which is going like Rib Shimon. So there's no difficulty, yeah, one's like Rimea, one's not like Rabban, and one's like Rabbanan, but that's Rib Shimon, who, that's how he holds regarding both these halachas. Now the Braisa had said, regarding the Meshuach Mochama, that he doesn't have these halachas of the Kohen Gadol, chutz mehei devar mamur meparsha, except for 5 halachas, which we mentioned, which says over there in that parsha. So the Gemara said, "Benam Mele, where do we know this from?" The turn around, we learn that Bryce, the pasuk says, "Meyikra ba'kain ha'gadol me'achav." The kain that's greater from his brothers, the kain gadol, who's the highest one? That's the high priest. Now it says, and the pasuk continues, "Asher yutzak al reish Hashem the mishka, which is poured on his head from the anointing oil." We already know it's the kain gadol. What's that coming to include? It says the Bryce is zem meshoach mochama. That's the kain who's anointed for war. He is included in whatever the halachas say over there in that parshan safe of the Yikra. And then the pasuk continues, "Umile as yadi lul b'shes begadim," that he's filled his hand to wear the garments of the high priest. Well, we already said the Kohen Gadol. What's that coming to include? "Semiru b'begadim." That's coming to include the Kohen Gadol, who actually is only mile as yadi from wearing the garments without the shem and the mishcha, that he'll also have those halachas over there. Whereas the Braisa says, "Akul no'ema," regarding all of them, the Kohen Gadol with the shem and the mishcha, "Meru b'begadim and meshuach mochama," on all of them it says these halachas, "Reisha le'yifra," he's not let his hair grow long, "B'begadav le'yifra," he's not let tear his garments, "V'kol nafshes meis le'yave," and he's not let go ahead and make himself impure by his relatives that have passed away. Now, continues the Braisa, "Yachal yu kulon makriv ma'inim," so you would think they also have all the dispensation that, oh, so they're not becoming tummy from the relatives, that they're allowed to sacrifice as an einin, which is the day that the relative passed away. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches, then no, it says why? Ki nezer shemen mishchas eleihav alav, because the crown of the anointing oil of his God is on him, which too, what's alav on him? Alav v'loyal chaveri. Only on this one that's anointed, he gets to sacrifice even as an einan. But not on his colleague, not on his friend, which comes to exclude the Meshuch Melchama, that he does not sacrifice as an Einan. But Kohen Gadol is Makrib an Einan, an old Kohanim Gedolim. Whether the one that's Meribu Gadim, or whether the first one who had a Besul and came back, or even the second one who is the substitute who stepped down, because they're all considered Kohanim Gedolim, which, however, that's excluded in the Meshuch Melchama, who is not a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, he's not included in the pasuk of Akoyin Agolim Echav, where although for the other halachas he is, but since it's saying Nezer Shem Mishchas Alekav Olav, it's saying Olav on this one who has the Shem and the Mishcha, but not on the other one who has the Shem and the Mishcha, who, although he has Meshuach, but he's not Akoyin Gadol Me'echav. Continues the Braisa. Now, after the pasuk differentiates between the Meshuach Melchama, that we said he's not exactly like all the others, that he does not sacrifice when he's in the Einan like a Kohen Gadol. So you would think that he's not commanded neither to have to marry a basula. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk teaches when it talks about the mitzvah of marrying a basula. It says, Vuhu, and him. What's and him? Come to include the Meshuach Muhammad that he also has to marry a basula. As the Gemara says, Kitanoi, which actually it's a machlok, as we find by Tanon. The Braisa says, Vuhu isha b'basula yikach. That he, a woman in her virginity, has to take. Which that's the pasukim it's told by Kohen Gadol. Now, says the Braisa, Acha Shechila Kakasa, once the Torah had differentiated and separated and said, oh, not every halacha that applies to Kohen Gadol, even in that parasha, applies to the Meshuach Melchama, as we find that Meshuach Melchama will not be Makrib Einan, that's why Reba Divri Bishmol, Bishmol says that's why it has to come to include now by saying, Bahu and him come to include that for this halacha, the Meshuach Melchama is included and he has to marry Basula. Now, Rabbi Kiva, he says, moreover, he says, Ein le'ilu sha'ava machmas kiryei. I would only know that regarding a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, who, that if he was only substituted, meaning he couldn't be the Kohen Gadol for a certain time period because he had keri, which is a certain type of a tumah, a seminal emission. So regarding him, that he's going to go back to his post, that's where we're talking about that he has to marry a basula. But machmas mumin, but if let's say we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that has a permanent, has a blemish, where he's not going back to his post because he has a blemish, minayin, how would we know that even such a Kohen Gadol is still commanded to marry a Basula? That's what Bahu comes to include, that even such a Kohen Gadol that has a blemish, that doesn't go back to his post, still ultimately he's a Kohen Gadol, and therefore he has to marry only a Basula. Now, related discussion, the Gemara says, Baimene Ravim Rav Nachman. Rav asks from Rav Nachman, Mashiach Shenitztareya, the Kohen Gadol, the anointed one, who gets saras. Ma'al ba'amanda, what's the halacha regarding his permissibility to marry a widow? As the Gemara explains, what's the question? Do we say that the mitzvah of Kohuna Gedayla is mitchadachi? It rejects his ability to marry a widow, as the Torah says, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow. Or do we say maybe that no, Kohuna Gedayla is miftar pater? It exempts him from marrying an almana. Meaning to say, he doesn't have the obligation. Now, therefore, when he gets saras, where there's no Makuna Gedayla, then he's not exempt anymore. And then he's permitted to marry an Amana. Whereas if you say he's rejected, once you say he's rejected, and therefore he can't marry. So even though he's not a Kohen Gadol, he's not going to be able to marry an Amana. So the Gemara says, Lo have biyadi, Rav Nachman did not have the answer for Rabbah. Now, Zimnin have a yasir, Rav Papa v'kaman bayalei. A different time, Rav Papa was sitting, he was asking the same question. So Amalei Huna, Bered Rav Nachman, Rav Papa, he says, Tanina, we learned the answer for your question in the Braisa. The Braisa says, as we mentioned before, Einli Elishav v'machmas kiri, we would only know the Kohen Gadol that was demoted for a short time period because of a seminal mission. Regarding him, that's who we say that he still has to marry a besula. Ava machmas mumin minayin. How do we know that even if he was demoted because of a blemish, that still he's considered a Kohen Gadol, albeit now that he can't because he has a mum, how do we know that he still has to go ahead and marry a besula? Tamalama vahu. That's what was said, that the extra word vahu, the inclusionary term, is saying that even if he was demoted because of a blemish, he's still going to be forbidden to marry a widow. Now, when a Kohen Gadol gets saras, there's no greater mum than that, and still we learn that he's still going to be forbidden to marry almana, as we find that Ava Machmas Mumay is still forbidden to marry almana. So, come Nashki Bereshis, or Rav Papa got up and he kissed Huna Brid of Nachman on his head. Yovli Brate, and he gave him his daughter in marriage because he was so excited for that answer that he gave him, which was obviously proving that even if the Kohen Gadol has Taras, he's still forbidden in Almana. Now, continuing on the theme that we mentioned before and from the previous Mishnah, regarding halachas of the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah says, Kohen Gadol, Pyrim Milmata. Although he said the Kohen Gadol does not do regular tearing of his garments and a sign of mourning for one of his relatives that passed away, but he does tear on the bottom of his garment, Vahedit Milmala, and a regular Kohen Hedit tears on the top. Kohen Gadol Makrev Oinim V'Lo'echel. Moreover, Kohen Gadol, he, although a regular Kohen Hedit cannot sacrifice as an Oinim when his relative passed away that day, the Kohen Gadol does, but he doesn't eat what he sacrificed as is normally done. Vahedit Loi Makrev V'Lo'echel, regarding however common a regular Kohen, he does not sacrifice and he doesn't eat the day that his relative passed away. Now, there's a machlekes how to qualify the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Amar Ravi says, when the Mishnah says that the Kohen Gadol tears on the bottom, lamata, it means lamata mamash, it means literally the bottom of the garment on the bottom. Lamala, when it says that a Kohen Hedya does on the top, lamala mamash, it means literally on the top, by the neckline, by the garment, by the opening of the neck. Now, Shmuel Amar, he says, no, when it says lamata on the bottom, it means lamata mikme safa. It means he tears beneath the border of the neck opening, which is, instead of going from the top, he goes right underneath the neck opening, and that's where he tears. That's considered under the border of the neck opening. When it says lamala, that the Kohen does on the top, it means lamala mekmesav. It means on the top, he literally tears the neck opening itself from the top, from that border on the top. But v'zebezebetzav, according to Shmuel, both of them are by the neck area. One is just on the top of the garment. One's right beneath the boundary, the border of the garment, right beneath that. Now, Meisvei, they asked on Shmuel from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, I'll call a Meisim Kulin. Regarding all people that have passed away, so when a relative is mourning, Ratzah Mavdul Kamei Safishalai, if the one who's mourning, when he wants to tear Kriya, he could either tear on top of the top of the garment, the border. Ratzah Einam Mavdul Kamei Safishalai, or he wants, when he does Kriya, doesn't have to do it literally on the top. Rather, he could do it beneath the Safa, the boundary of the garment. How about Aval Imay Mavdil? However, for his father and his mother that passed away, then he has to go ahead and separate the actual garment of the top, the boundary, which is generally at the edge of a garment, there's something that is that seam there at the top, that he has to tear that part. That is the Gemara, Kimin de Be'alma Havakera, since we're saying that in general, as the Brisa said, that if he wants to, a regular person for his relative, let's say not for his parents, he doesn't have to tear the neckline itself. Rather, he could tear right beneath the neckline, and he'll fulfill the mitzvah of kriya of tearing. So if so, how does the Kohen Gadol tear right beneath the neckline? But Kari Khan, you should recite here the passing of a yikra that says, Begadav lo yifraim, that he's not allowed to tear a kriya of his garments. Now, if you say that generally that's not a kriya, and he's just doing it as something that's symbolic, but it's not the actual halach of kriya, so we can understand. But according to Shmuel, that says that is what it's normally done in the by the Kohen Gadol. He does it by right beneath the neckline. But that, as we found in the Brisa, that's what's generally done by other types of mourning. He's not allowed to do things of mourning. By Rav, he does in the bottom of the garment, so that has no relevancy. That's something that could be permitted to be done. But according to Shmuel, how could he do it right there? Says the Gemara, Shmuel, Krebi Huda, severely. Shmuel holds a Krebi Huda, not like this previous Brisa, the one that he says, Kol Kera, She'ena Mamdul Safishalai, any Kriya, any tearing as a halacha of mourning for a relative that passed away, that doesn't tear the neckline itself, Eina Ela Kera Shoteflis, it's just a tearing of something that has no significance, because in general, no, one does not fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya, and therefore that's why it's permitted for Kohen Gadol, yes, to do it right beneath the neckline. That is the Gemara. He's saying that answers the question on Shmuel because he's like a Yehuda. But Omi Isli Rabbi the Kriya B'Kohen Gadol. Does Rabbi Yehuda hold that there is even any Kriya, even right beneath the neckline by the Kohen Gadol? Meaning you're saying that, oh, generally it's not done beneath the neckline. Therefore, that could be done by the Kohen Gadol. And because he's like Rabbi Yehuda. But you're saying that's what the Kohen Gadol does beneath the neckline? But does Rabbi Yehuda himself hold that the Kohen Gadol does any Kriya even beneath the neckline? But we're talking about the Braisa that says, the Pasuk says, that Ilo Nemar, Reish LeYifru Oveged LeYifrim, had the Pasuk said regarding the Kohen Gadol, that the head, he should not let go wild, and the garment should not, Beged LeYifrim, the garment should not be torn. Hayisa Aymer, says the Brisa, I would have said, whose head and garment are we talking about? The pasuk is talking about the head and the garment of the suspected adulterous woman. Because by the saita, the pasuk says in the midbar parakei, ufara es reish ha'isha. First of all, the kohen has to uncover the hair of the woman, let it go wild. And the Mishnah says himself the saita, navzayin min aleph, that the kohen grabs her garment and he has to pull. And if it tears, it tears. And if it goes into shreds, it goes into shreds. So we see that those two halachas apply by the saita, one of letting the hair grow wild and rending the garments. So I would have thought to say, if we wouldn't have said in the definitive of Yud Vav, of Vav, we would have said, if it just is Reish Le'Yifra, or Begel Le'Yifra, I would have thought to say the kohen's not allowed to do those practices on the saita. Those activities cannot be done by him. That's what the pasuk teaches. As Reishay Le'Yifra, Uvagadav Le'Yifra, it says that his head he should not let go wild, and his garments he should not rend. Which that means to say, She'ena Befriya Befrima Kol Iker, Rebbe Yehuda. That Rebbe Yehuda says, no, that the kohen gadol does not do any of the hair going wild, and doesn't do any of rending of his garments. He says, no, ain't the poem kederuch shabani adam poemin. No, he doesn't tear his garments the way regular people tear. You're right, that he doesn't do. Elohu melmata behedim amala, but rather, Rabbi Shmuel is like our Mishnah, where he says, but the kohen gadol does it on the bottom, and the kohen hedi does it on the top. But how could you answer and say Shmuel is like Rabbi Yehuda? And that's why it's not difficult when he says that, yeah, the kohen gadol tears on the top, but beneath the neckline, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not usually done. But Rabbi Yehuda himself says that the kohen gadol doesn't do any priya. So how could you say he's going, any primus? I could say he's going like him. Says the Gemara, Shmuel Savlak Rabbi Yehuda B'chada. You're right, Shmuel holds Rabbi Yehuda in one halacha, which is that any regular kriya that's not done on top of the neckline and tearing the neckline, that's a kerish tiflis, that's an insignificant kriya. But Upal Galeb B'chada, but he disagrees with him on one halacha, that although Rabbi Yehuda holds that the kohen gadol does not do any priya prima at all, Shmuel holds like the other tanaim in that area that he does do prima, but on the bottom, beneath. What do we mean? On the bottom, as we said, it means beneath the neckline itself. Not like Rav, who says that it's done all the way on the bottom of the garment. Continuing a related discussion, the second half of the Mishnah. But first, the Mishnah opens with a related halacha of the Sefer. Whatever is more constant, consistent from the other thing, it comes first before the other thing. And also, whatever is more sanctified than the other thing, comes before the other thing. Now, because of a different idea, as we'll see in the Gemara on the next daf, because of Xeris HaKasev, so too, Par HaMashiach uPar HaEdo Emdim. If let's say there's the bull of the Kohen Gadol and the bull of the Jewish people, which as we said, that both of them are when there's an erroneous ruling and then an action that follows up on that, the Kohen Gadol, when he does it himself, has to bring a par, and the Jewish people, when they do it based on the Bez Neos, have to bring a par. If let's say both those have happened, and they both are waiting to bring their karbanos, their bulls, and that says the Mishnah, Par Mashiach Kol Mepar Eid B'chol Ma'isav. The bull of the Kohen Gadol comes before the bull of the Jewish people for all its activities, for all its components of that carbon. Now the Gemara says, Menan Emilev, from where do we know the opening halacha of the Mishnah of Kol Atad Mechaver Kol Mechaver? So Mabai says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says, Mamidbar, when it talks about the bringing of karbanos, it says, you bring karbanos, Milvada Lo Sabayker, besides for the carbon oila of the morning, Asher Lo Ilas HaTomid, which is for the daily, the constant carbon oil that's brought every single day. So says Abaye Mechti Letzik Sivar Las Abayker. It already says that it's the oila that's brought in the morning. So Las HaTomid Lamali. Why do we need it to say that it's the constant oila? We know it says you bring it in the morning, which means every single morning. Why say that's the oila HaTomid? So says the Gemara. Hachikam Rachman. This is what the Torah is telling you. Called the Tadira Kadma, whatever is constant is first. That is what's known as a Bana Av. It's a building block to tell you that, yeah, every time you have a Tadir, something that's more constant is first, because that's what the Pasuk is telling you. Asher Lo Ilas HaTomid, which was for the Oila that's constant, which means it already was, meaning the first carbon of the day has to be the Tamid, because it's Tamid. That's why we mentioned, we already said Oila Sabayker, but we said Oila Satamid to say, yeah, because it's Tamid, that's why it's the first and it's broad. And then we learn that to every area of Halacha, whatever is more Tadir is first. So to the Mishnah continued, V'chalam HaKudosh Mechaver, wherever is more sanctified than the other thing, who Kodesh Mechaver, he comes first. So the Imam Anolim, where do we know this? From the Tan Rebbe Shmuel, in the Brice Rebbe Shmuel, the Pasuk says, Meyikra, regarding the Kayan, the Kiddashtoy, that you should sanctify him. What does that mean? L'chol Davar Shebekdusha, for every area of sanctity, which is Leftoyach Rishon, he opens up first in the reading of the Torah, we call up the Kayan first. U'Levarach Rishon, he makes the Bracha first by Zimun, we honor him first to make the benching. V'litil Manu Yafar Rishon, he takes the first best portion first, which again we see this halacha by the Kohanim, which also applies to all areas of halacha, that whatever is more sanctified than the other thing, the thing that's sanctified comes first.